You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors. I'm Wes Goldberg, the Golden State Warriors beat writer for the San Jose Mercury News. And what we do here every single day, Monday through Friday, is talk about the Warriors. And we have a big week coming up. The NBA draft is on Thursday. The Warriors hold the 7th pick and the 14th pick in Thursday's draft. So we're going to talk about all of that today and throughout the week. Make sure to tune in daily for the latest intel, mock drafts, all these things regarding the Warriors and what's going to happen on Thursday night. And of course, we will have you covered after Thursday night with a detailed breakdown analysis of what it is that the Warriors do with those picks and how that is going to affect their offseason and in free agency. So we're going to have all of that throughout this really big week. And we kick off this week talking about a couple of big topics. Number one, what are the Warriors going to do if they try to trade these picks? They have been very open about the fact that they are shopping number 7 and number 14, looking for all-star caliber type of help. Maybe a starter-level player would be what they would be willing to settle on. But then reports over the weekend detailing that Bradley Beal is on maybe on the cusp of asking for a trade from the Wizards. And if that's the case, then you would have to imagine that the Warriors are going to be interested. So let's look at this report from Jake Fisher, who wrote for Bleacher Report over the weekend. Word has reached front offices around the league that Wizards all-star guard Bradley Beal is considering requesting a trade prior to Thursday night's event. It was mentioned by multiple sources that he would welcome joining teams such as Boston, Golden State, Miami, or Philadelphia. Now, what's so interesting to me about that is you look at those teams, Boston, Golden State, Miami, Philadelphia. Among those teams, Let's take a look at who could put the best package together, right? Marcus Thompson from The Athletic reported, I think it was last week, that Bradley Beal is on the top of their wish list, the Warriors' wish list. That leads me to believe that they're willing to go all in for Bradley Beal, as they should, by the way. Like that, Bradley Beal is the exact kind of player who you go all in for. So what does all in look like? It looks like number 7 and number 14. You start there. I think you would put James Wiseman into that deal for Bradley Beal. You may have to include salary like Andrew Wiggins to make the contracts work, although there are ways around that. And then at that point, you take at 2020 that first round pick from 2026, you throw that in the deal, a pick swap, you do all of that stuff. Whatever it takes, you put it in for Bradley Beal. Just as you would for Damian Lillard, right? But Lillard, he has not requested a trade yet. We don't know if he's going to, and to me, the Damian Lillard thing looks like something that's going to happen at the beginning of the season, right? Not right now. And you look at all these reports, it sounds like Bradley Beal wants to make a decision before Thursday's draft because he realizes, hey, if I want to get out of here soon, then requesting a trade before Thursday so that whatever team I want to go to has draft picks that they can move in the near term for me in a deal, well, that's going to be more beneficial to me, more helpful for me getting out of Washington than waiting. Where Damian Lillard, and look, Bradley Beal, Damian Lillard, both of them, what they have in common is that they have, for a long time, wanted to make it work with their current organizations. The Wizards are much as Portland is a mess right now, Portland's much closer to competing than the Wizards, right? I mean, you look around, if you're Bradley Beal and you're looking around and you see Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Boston, all these teams, and you're like, look, I've tried for years to make it work in Washington, and we got Russell Westbrook last year, and we were basically a play-in team. Like, what gives? You know, if you're Bradley Beal, at some point, you have to recognize, like, if you want to win at a high level, it's just not going to happen with the Wizards. It's not going to happen. So I think that Beal, if Beal and Lillard are moved, I think Beal is moved before Damian Lillard is. To me, I think Damian Lillard, there's more to work with the Trailblazers. They have the CJ McCollum trade piece that they could use. We'll see what happens. They've been known. Look, Neil Olshey has not made really great deals, but he's been known to make deals, right? I think you could see what happens if you're Lillard, and it looks closer to what happened with James Harden last year and that he gets moved in the first couple of weeks of the regular season. Now, if that's the case, I don't think the Warriors have much of a shot to get Damian Lillard because they will have already used the 7 and 14th picks on either rookies or in another deal. And there's just not that many assets that they could put together. Like, I don't know if you're Portland, if the 7th pick and the 14th pick and James Wiseman is enough, right? I think if you're the Trailblazers, you're looking more like Ben Simmons or somebody, a guy who can walk in and help you right away. I don't know that the Warriors have the assets to get a Damian Lillard trade done. Meanwhile, I think if you're the Wizards and you're moving Bradley Beal, you are looking for the hard reset in a way that Portland might not be looking for that. You're looking for the hard reset and having the 7th pick, the 14th pick, and James Wiseman, in addition to some of the players that you've taken over the last few years, like Danny Avia, Rui Hachimura, and whatever you could get for Russell Westbrook, because I would imagine you'd probably trade him too, but you know, maybe not, I don't know. That to me seems more enticing. But the Warriors kind of have to make that deal within the next few days, because once that's done, and we'll talk about like what options they'll have at 7, like if you're able to get a player who looks really good at 7 and at 14, then maybe it doesn't really matter. But if you're the Wizards, you want to make those picks at 7 and 14, right? You don't want another team picking for you. And if you're the Warriors or whatever team is trading for Bradley Beal, you either want to know, hey, are we getting Bradley Beal or do we need to make the most out of these picks and get guys who could play right away? Especially in the case of the Warriors, right? Because at 7 and 14, if you're looking for guys who can help Washington rebuild, that's a very different player and you're making a very different kind of selection with those picks than saying, well, you know what? We're probably not going to get Bradley Beal, so let's go ahead and get the guys who can play right away and help us sooner rather than later. So for a lot of reasons, if the Warriors want Bradley Beal, and if Bradley Beal wants to play for the Warriors, it has to happen in the next 3 days, basically, right? It has to happen by Thursday night before the Warriors make their pick at number 7. Let's look at another report here. Adrian Wojnarowski, the Golden State Warriors have said that they do not have interest in Ben Simmons. They prefer to wait for Bradley Beal's decision, even if they have to select their picks on draft night. So that tells me now that the Warriors probably aren't going to dramatically shift what it is they do on draft night, unless they have really good intel on Beal, based on whether or not they can get him or not, right? So there's been a lot of conversation. Would the Warriors take Jonathan Kuminga if he was there at 7? I still think that they would have to. It would be really hard to pass on Kuminga because of the value he represents. Not only in a trade, but because of the upside and all those things. And I think if you took Kuminga for the Warriors, there's a world where you can let him play in the G League for half the season and then bring him up or whatever. I actually think Kuminga's stock has taken too much of a hit. I think that, look, he reclassified. He's a year younger than a lot of the guys in this draft, and he was playing in an adult, literally an adult league with the G League Ignite program. I always thought he was going to look bad. And you have to wonder, if he played in college, would he still be a sure thing in the top 5 as opposed to possibly slipping all the way to 7 or even past that if the Warriors want to pass on Kuminga? I think you have to take him if the Warriors at 7. Regardless of who else was on the board, as long as it's not one of the other top 5 guys on the board, you've got to take him and get 7 because of the value it represents. It's just so hard to pass that up. And I don't think he could play right away. I think he's a couple years away from being a really impactful NBA player, but you could play him in the G League for a while, or if you do end up packaging him with some other stuff in a deal, he looks a lot better in a trade than even like Davion Mitchell or Franz Wagner or Moses Moody or Josh Giddey, some of these other guys that have been talked about at number 7. So I think you would have to take Kuminga. I think you would absolutely have to take Kuminga. The Ben Simmons thing there is interesting, but I do want to take a quick break here to talk about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has a ton of delicious flavors? There's something for everybody. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. And if you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out. Coconut, Cherry Barcia, Raspberry, Mint Brownie, Double Chocolate, Salted Caramel, Strawberry Orange, Cookies and Cream, German Chocolate. My personal favorite lately has been the Strawberry. It's one of their newer flavors. It's absolutely delicious. You can't go wrong with basically strawberry or chocolate-covered strawberries, and that's basically what you're getting with that Built Bar. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you're going to get 2 each of the 9 flavors, so that'll help you pick your favorite or your several favorites. I have like 4 or 5 boxes of Built Bars of some of my favorites in the refrigerator right now. Not only are Built Bars the best tasting protein bars, but they're healthy too. Check out these macros, 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. So go to built.com and use that promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off on your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. Okay, back here with Locked On Warriors. So the Ben Simmons stuff. There's been debate about whether or not the Warriors would be a good fit for Ben Simmons, if they should trade for Ben Simmons. And I still think that this makes a lot of sense. The Warriors have said that they don't have any interest in Ben Simmons. And I think the reason here is, first of all, Daryl Morey's not going to sell low on Ben Simmons, as tough as his playoff performance was, as bad as that playoff performance was by Ben Simmons. He's not going to sell low on him. He's under contract for 4 years. There's no reason to make that move if it means that you're getting pennies on the dollar. Nobody in the league and in that Warriors front office expects to get Ben Simmons for something dirt cheap, right? It's one thing if it's like, hey, Andrew Wiggins for Ben Simmons? Sure, you do it. But it's going to require a lot of assets for the Warriors to move, and it would probably require a third team as well, because I don't think that the Sixers want anything that the Warriors have, right? 7-14 are fine picks. Like, Wiggins is an okay player, but he's not a great fit for the Sixers. Wiseman's a nice prospect, but that doesn't fit what the Sixers are trying to do. They want to win now. So you'd have to get a third team involved that can move those win-now pieces to Philadelphia. That third team would have to want all these things that we were just talking about from Golden State. And that's just probably not doable, because if that team can move all those things, then why wouldn't that team just go get Ben Simmons? So I don't think that Ben Simmons is a realistic player for the Warriors to target. And I think that the front office recognizes that, in addition to the fact that the fit might not just be what they're looking for. There's an opportunity cost, is what I'm trying to say there. So, but Beal and Lillard would be home runs. And I know that there's some concerns about whether or not they could survive defensively. That doesn't matter. If you have those kinds of players, look, Kevin Durant's not walking through that door. You're not getting a perfect two-way player that fills in all the gaps again. You're just not doing it. It's just not happening, okay? But if you want another superstar player, and it means that, hey, we can move 7-14 to go get a proven guy right now, all-star type, just, you do it. And then you figure out the fit and all the other stuff and whether or not you can survive. You figure all that stuff out later. You just go get the player right now. Go get that player right now. Because all these core guys, they're not getting moved, right? Steph, Draymond, Clay, they're not getting moved in these deals. So everybody else is touchable, right? Like, nobody else is off the table. Move whatever you got to move to go get one of those guys. And I think the Warriors would. But let's go back to that other report here from Jake Fisher, who lists off some of those teams: Boston, Golden State, Miami, or Philadelphia. I think if Philadelphia were to put Ben Simmons on the table, which I think they would in any Bradley Beal or even Damian Lillard type of trade, I still think that if you're Washington, you go with Ben Simmons, understanding that, hey, this is a guy we can build around. He's got franchise type of talent. Maybe he needs a change of scenery. I think if the Warriors, look, I think 7-14 and Wiseman are nice. Wiseman's stock has dropped. I think it depends from every front office if they're all in on Wiseman or not. It really depends on what they think of him as an asset. There's no blanket statement there. And then 7 is an okay pick, but it's not a top 4 or 5 in this draft where that's really valuable. And 14 is just meh. Like, that doesn't really move the needle as much as I think Warriors fans want to believe it does. Boston, it would be interesting. I don't know if they would put Jaylen Brown in that type of trade, because now you're moving one of your core sort of all-star type players for another one. Like, Damian Lillard you would do it for, but for Bradley Beal, I'm not sure if Boston puts in Jaylen Brown. I'm not saying whether I would or not. I'm just not sure Boston puts in Jaylen. And so if they don't put in Jaylen Brown in that type, and obviously that Tatum's not, he's untouchable. He's not moving. So I don't really know what else Boston can move or offer. Miami, it's sort of like the Wiseman thing. It's like, okay, what does Washington front office think of Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, some of these other, like Kendrick Nunn, like some of these other bit pieces? They even have fewer draft picks. Miami does. They have fewer draft picks than Golden State can move, even though if this were, there's ways that they can lift some protections on other trades and unlock a bunch of other picks. So they would probably do something like that and put more picks on the table, but they can't compete with like a number 7 overall pick, right? So it would really come down to what Washington thinks of those guys. But the other team I would mention is Toronto, right? Like, these are just the names at Jake Fisher, but Bradley Beal is under contract for another year. So he does have some leverage here as far as, hey, I'm not going to go there because I'm not going to re-sign there, right? Like the Kawhi Leonard situation, like the Anthony Davis situation that we've seen. But we've seen that Toronto doesn't really care about that, that they're willing to bet on themselves, that they could sell themselves on a player of Beal's caliber. And the number four pick, you could argue that that's even better than Ben Simmons, right? If you're Washington and you really do want to hit the reset button. Like, the number four pick in this draft is exponentially more valuable than the number seven and number 14 pick in this draft. So if Toronto were going to get involved, they make a lot of sense as the destination, because they could basically take number four and Pascal Siakam and do that and say, and hey, this is for Bradley Beal. And if you're Washington and you're sitting there with, okay, maybe we do Wiseman 7, 14, and Wiggins or something like that. Or we've got, on the other hand, Ben Simmons, and that's it. Or we can get Pascal Siakam and the fourth pick in this draft, and we still have all these young players that we had from the last few drafts. I don't know. I think it's really worth thinking about, especially if you can get a guy like Jalen Suggs in the building, who's clearly of the top tier in this draft. Okay. So I don't know where that puts the Warriors. I think that there's obviously an understanding and acknowledgement that, hey, moving on from these picks is probably best. The last that I've talked to people in the Warriors front office, they do want to make a move, right? Steph, Klay, Draymond, they have made it known, hey, if we can do it, let's make a move that helps us win right now. We are sick of missing the playoffs. We want to be back to being contenders. And the Warriors as an organization owe it to them to do that. But I still think right now, and look, anything can change, right? This stuff changes so quickly. But right now, I think it's still most likely that the Warriors end up making the selections at 7 and at 14. That's what we're going to talk about here next on Locked On Warriors. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. The NBA playoffs or baseball season is in full swing, and you could track all of the action at BetOnline. Get all of the latest news, odds, and info for all of your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all of the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Back here with Locked On Warriors, talking about this tweet from ESPN's Jonathan Givony. Big workout in Golden State today with Chris Duarte, Trey Murphy, Moses Moody, and Davion Mitchell in a competitive workout. Results of the workout could very well play a role in who they end up selecting at number 14. So this obviously got a lot of traction for good reason. You got Duarte, Murphy, Moody, and Davion Mitchell competing in sort of round-robin style two-on-two workouts, really competitive workouts that the Warriors held in San Francisco to help them determine what they wanted to do at number 14. And I think that there's an understanding of what the Warriors are going to do at number 7. Obviously, they could still try to trade these picks and all of those things. But if they can't move these picks at number 7, if a guy like Kuminga is available, they'll have to think long and hard about taking him. I think a guy like Booknight out of UConn is definitely in the mix at number 7. Davion Mitchell was in the mix at number 7. I think his stock has cooled a little bit. Moses Moody was thought about at number 7. I think that there's a lot of reports about them considering him at number 7. I've heard his name at number 7 from other outlets and other media people, but I'm not as convinced that he's an option there at number 7. Josh Giddey's name has been thrown around. Franz Wagner's name. He's had an interesting pre-workout process, but I think he is still an option there at number 7. And I think there is, if you look at different mock drafts, Duarte, Murphy, Moody, Mitchell, there are ways that all of those guys or several of those guys could fall at 14. So I think that's what the Warriors are trying to do here. What's interesting to me about these names is that all these guys are sort of plug-and-play type of guys. The Warriors think very highly of Chris Duarte. I think of this group, I think they would prefer that Mitchell, Mitchell has the least chance of falling all the way to 14. I think they would take him if he were there at number 14. He was in consideration at one point at number 7. But if he was there at number 14, I think they would be really excited about that. Duarte to me would be the next guy that I would take, and then probably Moody, and then probably Murphy at that point. But all of these guys could realistically be the pick at number 14. And I don't, obviously, however this workout went, could play a large factor in ultimately what kind of hairs they're splitting there if they had to make that kind of decision at number 14. So really interesting. And as we're getting closer to the draft, we're starting to see what we believe the Warriors' big board to be, right? I think that they would love for a guy that they didn't expect to fall to fall. I think they would love to be able to just move out of number 7 completely because they like the depth of this draft. And I think they'd be really happy to take a guy at 14 if they could hold on to that pick and maybe move 7 for a player who can contribute right away. I think if they did get an immediate contributor at 7, that they could look at number 14 and say, hey, we might be able to take more of a chance here and take like a Jalen Johnson or a Keon Johnson or a Zaire Williams type. You know, maybe take a swing at 14. I think it really all depends on what they do at number 7 and what kind of options are there. If a guy does fall to them, I think they'd be excited about that. I think there's obviously all the names that we've been talking about that are in that range. They're going to all be in consideration by the Warriors. But we'll see, right? Because like everything, it's very, very fluid. We still don't know exactly what's going to happen. We won't until draft night. Okay. So like I said, throughout the week, we're going to have a ton of great content. Tomorrow will be Tuesday. I have to still book Connor Letourneau from the San Francisco Chronicle, but I am expecting to talk to him about the latest intel and draft buzz regarding what the Warriors are going to do with these picks. And we'll have a ton of other content for you later in the week. Locked On Warriors is available wherever you get podcasts, Monday through Friday. I'm the Golden State Warriors beat writer for San Jose Mercury News, so you could go check out my written work over there. We're going to have a mock draft going up on Tuesday. I have a list of the players that the Warriors are considering up on the site right now. After the draft, we'll have a ton of stuff to break down for you here on the podcast. Also, make sure that you are subscribed to the YouTube channel. Locked On Warriors is on YouTube. We're trying to get up to 1,000 subscribers. I think we're near 700 right now. So let's get up there by the draft, and then let's really blow it up after the draft. This has been Locked On Warriors. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you here again tomorrow.